B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub. This is Jasper and Merle.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they want to play, they're going to play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play.
You want the game now?
I don't. I mean, obviously, I want the game, but I don't need the game. It's a different. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to play for no one. Like, I'm happy. You see this? This paid off cash. I don't owe no one. I'm a millionaire, bro. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I don't have to prove no one anything. You know what I mean? Like, I never quit and miss a game ever. I check my record. They know my background. But that's what the NFL is an organization. Organizations can create narratives and lower your value based on your position. But you can't lower my value. I'm Antonio Brown. I come from somewhere. I stand for something. I showed you. You know what I mean? If someone don't believe that, perfect. Don't call me. Like, it's okay. Like,
right.
I'm perfectly fine with walking away fully healthy or whatever.
Ugh. This is one of my big pet peeves in life. It's Jim Murray, Ted Johnson, Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports. I have Chris out today, so Ted is in. That is Antonio Brown back in March with NFL Network's Jeff Darlington. He doesn't need the game. He's ready to walk away at any time. Good signing there, given all that money after you make that deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers here, Oakland Raiders, and John Gruden. Oof, boy, unbelievable. I say it's one of my pet peeves, Ted, because when people kill the golden goose, it makes me crazy. When people have these unbelievable opportunities in front of themselves and a great career and you get this unbelievable job, like, I don't know. Do you remember Artie Lang when he was on, the comedian who was on with Howard Stern?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's had his demons. But, like, dude, get it under control. Talk to someone. Get some help. Like, don't blow this perfect gig. You have the greatest job in the world, and he blew it. And now he's a complete disaster. Like, hey, people have their demons. I got to work through them sometimes. It sucks, but... don't kill the golden goose. Antonio Brown's killing the golden goose. And so if you don't know what we're alluding to, the story has kind of blew up here in the last 24 hours. He has told the Oakland Raiders, Antonio Brown, the wide receiver, he will not play football again. Why? Unless he can wear his old helmet. His old helmet. Now, he's had this whole thing, too, that popped up where he's gone AWOL recently to deal with his, like, he has... burned feet because he was in a cryotherapy chamber. He didn't wear the correct
footwear.
So he got frostbite in the bottom of his feet. He posted this photo either on Snapchat or something like that. It was like, oh my God. So that's problematic enough. And he hasn't really given them much details on that. He hasn't been working with their trainers. Like, that's a complete mess.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
That they can't. The report was yesterday, I think they said that there's radio silence, that they can't get in touch. You can't get in touch with this guy?
Radio silence. That was the term that was used by one of the writers from the Las Vegas Review Journal or whatever it is that covers the Raiders. So, okay, that's bad enough. But then he had a two-hour conference call, did Antonio Brown, with an independent arbitrator yesterday to argue why he should be allowed to wear his 10-year-old helmet. He's thought to have been using the same helmet his whole career. Reading from Mike Silver, also of Fox Sports, covers the NFL, writing about this thing in that... his recent absence from the Raiders, blah, 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 blah. He tried to use his old helmet and paint it the Raiders' colors. Obviously, that's not going to fool anyone. Like, this is a problem. And his issue, too, is that, you know, Tom Brady openly complained about the rule, about the helmet, and he got to wear it last year. Last year, any of these guys could do it. He, Aaron Rodgers, went with the old helmet, but they've since assimilated. Like, it just comes down to this. Assimilate, you a-hole. Why are you going to kill the golden goose? You're going to walk away from your NFL career when you're one of the best wide receivers in the game, if not the best, because you can't wear the old helmet, you stupid baby. Oh, my God. Like, these things drive me crazy.
It's hard to explain.
And as a former player, this has to drive you nuts.
If I'm a teammate, I'm beside myself. Like, literally, like, bro, get it together. You're kidding me, right? Like, you can. There's 15. I'm told. I heard there was 15 different helmet options that you can pick from, and you can't find one that you're happy with. You just wonder if there's something bigger going on here. Like, is it more than just a helmet? He's using this as an excuse, and if it is, it's one of the lamest excuses I've ever seen. You are not endearing yourself with your teammates at all. I mean, by acting this way, it is surprising. I don't know what's going on with this guy. He's kind of losing it in front of our very eyes, right? It feels like that. I mean, that interview with Jeff Darling that we played on the way into the segment, I didn't even understand kind of like his stream of content, what he was saying, really, or what the bigger point was that he was trying to make. So you just wonder, like, is everything all right with Antonio Brown? Is he mentally okay, because his behavior at the end of last year with the Steelers.
Right, after he had shut it down, he shows up to that one game in like a $10,000 mink coat. It's like, what's more important to you here? Like your career or looking like a complete a-hole?
I called him out on that at Twitter. People was like, he can wear whatever he wants. Dude, whenever you are, you're basically being suspended for a game by your head coach and you show up pregame in a mink coat on the sideline, it's just a bad look. You're putting your nose up to your coach and your team when you present yourself like that, when you had issues that entire week leading up to that playoff game, and you decide that you want to show up anyway in a mean coat, just a bad look. And he doesn't care, man. I don't know if the success has gotten to his head. I mean, we all know, like, he is, when you think of who's the best receiver in the NFL, we all say Antonio Brown. I don't, like, sometimes maybe success, Jim, it just, some guys cannot handle it.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it breaks people's brains.
Yeah. I think, right. Like, they're told how great they are. You are the greatest. You have all these, you have everybody kissing your ass. You have everybody bending to your knee, bending the knee for you. And I think some guys just take that and don't know what to do with it. And they literally lose their minds.
Yeah. Like,
they're irrational and have zero self-awareness.
I think it also, you know, Antonio Brown right now can be used as an example of how social media breaks one's brain, because he's very active on all his accounts, from Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat and everything else. And he's apparently, one of the other things from this silver tweet thread yesterday about Antonio Brown, he's ruffled feathers by barely paying attention in team meetings, often showing up late while spending most of the time glued to his phone. Unbelievable. The Raiders may be feeling buyer's remorse after seeing some of Brown's recent antics. Okay, so what's more important, learning the playbook, getting assimilated with your new team, or looking at giant asses on Instagram, like during team meetings? Like, what are you doing? Or trying to promote your brand? He's apparently been looking at his multiple bank accounts as well. He's lost his mind. Social media has helped to break Antonio Brown's mind, because he'd rather be an influencer than a professional football player, and not just a professional football player, Ted, one of the best in the game. It's insane. It's maybe the most 2019 sports story you're going to get this year. It's crazy.
It always surprises me, Jim, when you have players that kind of like dismiss or don't acknowledge they want to be more than just the football player. Like Johnny Football. I'll never forget Johnny Football. You know why Johnny Football was Johnny Football? Is because he was a great player in college on the field. Like, you got to show up and play football to be Johnny Football. Like, to be a, you know, for people to know you and to have success and for you to be known for what you're going to be known for, it has to be on the football field. You can't be something other than, I mean, you can do all this other stuff if you want, but your brand and
the dedication
what you're
still
doing
has to
off
be
the
your,
field
your main
has
craft.
To start from your craft.
Yeah.
And you can't dismiss it, and you can't think you're bigger than that. You have to still do the work and all the things that got you to that point to get that big contract. And whenever you start saying you're more than that, okay, man, that's when you become irrelevant. If you're not doing the work and to be the player that you need to be on the field, then you're going to become, you know, yesterday's news real fast.
Yeah. Oh, man, I thought he was going to be a stud. After that upset when he was with A&M and they went into Alabama and he, like, shocked the world, I was like, oh, this kid's going to be an absolute stud. And, boy, another great example of, like, what not to do. Killing the golden goose. You blew it. You fooled. You had it, and you blew it. Casey in California on this Antonio Brown story. Hello, Casey.
Hey, guys. Love what you do. Ted, you're great.
Thank you.
Big Jim, I think you're fantastic.
Hey, thanks.
Antonio Brown's a baby, but really, what's your best Epstein theory? Why do you think he died? What's going on in there? We need more. We need more conspiracy theory talk.
Well, now that some of the names have been released here in the last 24 hours of those that have hung with Jeffrey Epstein, who, by the way, in case you didn't hear the breaking news this morning, he committed suicide in a New York jail today. With this billionaire who had all of these people, from the Clintons to other financiers to Prince Harry to Matt Groening, of all people, the creator of The Simpsons, on his sketchy rape plane over all these years. Yeah, he committed suicide. Who knows? The rich and powerful, like the real, like, rich and powerful, like the billionaires, like real wealthy people, Lord knows what they get away with in life. So who knows? I'd like to think, Ted, that they all made some kind of collective phone call and said, hey, the jig is up. We're all going to be exposed for being a bunch of creepy pedophiles and rapists. So let's have him taken care of in that prison. So they make that phone call. They have tried to have him killed a couple of weeks ago in that prison. He attempts suicide, fails at it, and now this time he He completed the suicide. So I don't know. He was taken down in that jail by the rich and powerful. And now they're kicking back, popping bottles, making phone calls, Woo! Saying, we win again. Twirling their evil mustaches.
But what he was in jail for, too, is if you talk about, like, there's a pecking order of criminals, and he's low down on the totem pole, right? I mean, as far as, like, I think you go into jail with committing different crimes, and you have some that are, you know, like, as far as the respect level, I think the charges he's been committing, what he's been, the crimes that he's been, you know, charged for is kind of low down on the scale of, like, respect in jail, too, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but he was apparently, I'm reading here, he was in, like, an isolation unit.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know. Maybe it was the COs. This thing stinks, and it's sketchy, yeah. And I think you're crazy if you think that he actually attempted suicide. He was going to have to get on the stand and name names, and those names would have been some of the most powerful people on planet Earth, and they had a lot to lose, obviously.
Guys like him, I feel like they have the mental makeup. The ego and the narcissism is so great, and they just think they are just, they're God. Like, they answer to different rules, that it almost seems like that's the kind of guy that would never kill himself. Like, he's... You know, so...
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, yeah, no, I agree completely.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just his mental makeup is such that when you hear about how he was, that doesn't seem like a guy that would ever want to end his life.
Right.
Like, he's...
Well, they feel infallible, people
right.
like that. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
You know, that's further reason, too. No, I'm telling you, it's a Wire reference, but this is like D'Angelo Barksdale, who didn't commit suicide. He was strangled to death to make it look like a suicide, because that's what Stringer Bell wanted. So some powerful, rich Stringer Bell or conglomerate had Jeffrey Epstein taken care of this morning, who was found dead in jail because of suicide. Yeah. It's really all I want to talk about. When I saw this coming in, I was like, this is you. I mean, come on. No one believes this, do you? Right? Come on.
It happened pretty fast.
Of course it did.
He wasn't in jail very long.
He was about to name names. Hello, John in the car.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
For taking my phone call. I'm very disappointed that Big Jim hasn't done a Bannon impression by saying, "Oh, show me the body." I don't think this guy's dead. They got him out of there. He's alive and well. He's on an island by now. This is all a conspiracy. That's my two cents.
Show me the body of Jeffrey Epstein. Pedophile rapist.
Yes, I know. Good callback. People do like that Bane reference, even though that movie's now seven years old. Yeah, not even a great movie. Way too long. Bane, a good character, and then it all goes to hell at the end.
Would you ever have guessed that was Tom Hardy playing Bane? Like, I had...
Oh, he's a great weirdo. Have you ever watched...
I couldn't believe that was him. When someone told me, I was like, that's Tom Hardy?
Yeah, he's a great actor. You ever watched Peaky Blinders on Netflix?
I have. I haven't watched it, too. It's I've watched, like, the first season, about five or six episodes. I liked it.
Yeah. He's great in that, too.
Does he come in late in that?
No, he was in those early seasons.
Oh, okay, I forget. Is it worth watching to the end? I mean, is it...
There's that one dud season that involves the Russians where it kind of all goes to hell. But other than that, that's a pretty damn good show.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Hardy's great in that, too.
Okay.
What's the other one? Banshee? Is that the other thing he's in? He's in something else that's real great. Okay, we've gone off on a tangent. I've probably said far too much about Jeffrey Epstein. Keep it to sports. Talk sports. Yeah, all right. I get it. You people want to ignore this, just like you want to ignore the Tom Brady contract thing. Huh? 617-779-0985. We're going to talk about Antonio Brown, that nut killing the Golden Goose. We've been very Patriots heavy. Brady's contract. Thursday night's preseason game. You want to talk about anything about that? Have at it. I do want to touch on... There's not much to talk about for me with the Red Sox right now. I think they're mostly putting out an interminable product. They've been extremely disappointing, save for like three or four players. I just want the season over. But that said, when the season ends, Mookie Betts could be gone. News on that. We'll get to it next here on Gasper Murray with Ted Johnson, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He is a free agent after the coming season, after 2020. And so I was told by sources today that there's a belief in the industry. Now, this is not coming from the Red Sox, but they believe at this point in time that the Red Sox will at least listen, yes, listen, to trade offers for Mookie in the winter. Now, while that may sound absurd, here's the reasoning. You think about the Red Sox pitching staff. Porcello has struggled. Price is on the injured list right now. We've seen Sale have, objectively, the worst year of his career. And if the Red Sox believe that their pitching is simply not good enough looking forward to be able to compete against the Yankees, against the Rays, they may have to make the very dramatic decision if they don't want to extend their payroll further, which, by the way, they're already spending the most money in baseball this year, that one of their best ways to get young pitching in would be potentially, yes, to put Mookie on the trade market this winter.
I just wanted to touch on this for a minute because this popped up late yesterday. It's Jim Murray and Ted Johnson. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports. I'm Chris off today. So here it is, the report. The Red Sox may listen to trade offers for Mookie Betts this offseason. That was John Morosi yesterday, MLB Network. Well, you may ask, you know, why would the Red Sox ever trade a guy that's the MVP? He's 26 years old, one of the better outfielders in all of Major League Baseball. A little bit of a down season for him, comparatively speaking, to last year. But I think it comes down to this, Ted. Like, I don't think he wants to be here long term. This is why they're going to have to take calls on it. My only thing with this is, if they're going to do this, it means they have to fire Dave Dombrowski. And that whole thing feels scapegoated to me. It was informed speculation from Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, John Tomasi as well, NBC Sports Boston. As the week has gone along, it feels like it's a formality. Dombrowski's going to be out at the end of the year. He did what they brought him in to do, and you won a World Series out of it, so I don't know what the hell else you want there, but bad season, someone's going to have to take the fall. It's him. But if he's out, well, it means someone else is going to have to do the Mookie Betts thing, because if Dombrowski stays, I don't want him moving on from him and, you know, replenishing the farm system and then trying to draft, because I think that's what he sucks at.
I was wondering, like, where you're getting with that, because so he just has a bad track record of stocking the farm.
Yeah.
Farm.
Okay. Oh, he can empty them, but replenishing them, I'm all set.
And I think I heard you earlier in the week with Maz talking about I think it was Felger that was a little bit reluctant to get rid of Dombrowski because, well, who are you going to fill him in with?
Right.
Can I just throw my two cents in on that real quick? If you're going to look, what organization would you look at that you would say has kind of figured it out in the last 4 years where you say, dude, they have a phenomenal roster, phenomenal pitching, phenomenal lineup, and a really great farm system?
Houston.
Jeff Luhnow, the general manager for the Houston Astros, to me, has been phenomenal. Like, in making decisions, he's from the St. Louis Cardinals organization originally, so he knew what the hell he was doing. He got there. They were terrible for 3 years, but we were all told that was the plan, and then he just... the young talent he drafted, that dude can draft. So I would look at that organization to pluck somebody maybe from – I mean, they got Cora there from there, you know, bench coach, yep, in 2017 when they won the World Series. I just – that's a franchise that I would kind of like, all right, you know, who's been working with Jeff Luhnow as far as replacement for general manager? But that – we digress. I just wanted to get my two cents in on that.
You move on from Betts, though?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. You definitely do. Look, if he's not motivated, and there's been enough signals that he doesn't want to be here long term. You know, they've put really good contract offers in front of him. They have for years, I believe. Right? I mean, he's
well, just kinda, recently it was
recently, but even before, I feel like they've tried to get him to kind of just maybe that's partly a gauge in his interest long term in the team. It shows you kind of what he's thinking. So it doesn't sound like he wants to be here. So might as well get something. And it just is a little bit shocking that when you think of the arms that the Red Sox have, Sale and Porcello and David Price, and then you sign Nathan Eovaldi to a long term deal, that you need young pitching prospects because there's huge question marks. Let's face it, and there's Chris Sale, worst season he's had in his career. David Price, we know mentally he can just go in the tank. And Rick Porcello is just, I mean, he's not even close to what he's you know, how he's pitched in the past. So I'm all for it. Wouldn't hesitate. Wouldn't even think twice about getting rid of Mookie Betts. And I don't think there would be like an uproar here. I just don't get the sense, Jim, that Red Sox fans have loved this guy, that they've embraced Mookie Betts, that he's one of us, and the thought of getting rid of him would upset the fan base. I don't get that sense at all. I could be wrong, but that's the sense I get.
Well, let's talk to someone who still cares about the team deeply. Sean Silver, do you want to see them moving on from Mookie Betts?
Do I care about the team deeply this season? I mean,
you still care overall.
Yeah, I still care. I mean, I'm still a hoops and hardball guy at heart, and that doesn't mean I don't care about the other things. It's just, you know, those are the things that I care about by a wider margin. So when I try and hold on to this Red Sox season as hard as I can, it's hard. I've grown just as negative as everybody else. But I looked into it. How many teams have traded MVP players still in their primes you know, contending teams, and there's really no precedent for it. I kind of jotted up a little list earlier, and, you know, your MVPs in their primes who've been traded in recent years, Stanton, terrible team. Verlander, Detroit was out of it.
Yep.
And then before that, you got to go back all the way to A-Rod with Texas, and they were not a very good team with A-Rod. That was part of the reason why they moved on from him. You know, you had a few guys who went as free agents, Bryce Harper just being one. Pudge Rodriguez left the Rangers a number of years ago for Florida. Josh Hamilton left the Rangers and took a big deal with L.A. If we remember the kind of flash in the pan that Josh Hamilton was, he had about four or five good years, and that was it. And Tejada left the A's for Baltimore. There is no precedent for a contending team trading an MVP at the height of his powers. It hasn't happened. Verlander, yeah, we mentioned Verlander, but Detroit was out.
But if they know deep down, or whoever the GM and president of baseball ops to be is, they know deep down, like, he's not going to end up signing a long-term deal here. Don't they have to maximize that asset?
They have to, but again, this just doesn't happen. Yeah. So this tells you that something is up. Are the Red Sox lowballing Mookie Betts here? Because all these other teams, all these other players have stayed with these teams. You look at guys, they win the MVP, they stay with the team for life. Miguel Tejada is still Cabrera is still kicking around Detroit. Buster Posey is still kicking around San Francisco. Votto with the Reds, Braun with the Brewers, Mauer retired with the Twins. You win MVP, the team keeps you. They sign you to some ridiculous deal, they keep you there. Unless, you know, you have a severe decline in your abilities and you go out the door and, you know, you wind up your career playing somewhere else. You know, when you can hit maybe 260 and 10 home runs and you're no longer yourself.
Do you think the Red Sox should give him whatever he wants? Like, if they are, maybe lowballing him, is it?
And he wants, like, Mike Trout money.
Are you giving him $300 million?
Well,
is he a good enough player to justify
that? This was the
that?
Discussion, right? I mean, Mike Trout money, they've been saying this is what Mookie Betts is due to get. You look at what Harper and Machado got in the offseason, and they're different situations. But the Red Sox reportedly offered, what, 25 a year for 8 years, was it?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like an 8-year, $200 million offer, and he turned it down. So what is it going to take to get him there? Because you want to talk about other guys on the roster, and if they move the needle for me and what you're paying them? No, get them out the door. Keep Mookie Betts. Keep the guys that matter. They've already made some good moves to lock up young players like a Bogarts. I mean, Bogarts deserved that money. He's showing just how much he deserved that money. There's going to be a reckoning down the road with Rafael Devers, but they made stupid moves too. So if you make these stupid moves for these commodities that you thought were volatile, like a Chris Sale, you know, 5 years ago, you're preaching that these guys, we don't want to sign them. Now you've unloaded a truckload for Sale and Price, and they're here for a long time. But you're telling me you can't keep an MVP? There are no teams in baseball who move on from MVPs the way that the Red Sox might be moving on from Mookie Betts. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess if you're not going to go all in for him, you got to trade the guy. What is stopping them from going all in on a guy with that level of talent who's 6, 7 years old at this point?
Nick in Taunton, your thoughts on the Red Sox at least taking phone calls this coming offseason on Mookie Betts. Hello.
Hi. I was just wondering more so what you thought would realistically take to get him away from the Red Sox. Like, what has to be offered to the Red Sox to pull him away?
I would think two marquee players that you can put to help replenish your farm system, some young pitching. I don't know names. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know. I know, you know, about certain prospects and certain teams' development systems, but it's going to take a lot. You know, you're getting a guy like Sean is saying, you know, coming off an MVP season or a year removed from it, still putting up pretty decent numbers this year. One of the better outfielders in the game. You're not going to get peanuts for him. But I think you got to get some kind of return. If they know deep down, they put another contract offer in front of them, even if it's close to what Machado got with San Diego, and he still says no, well, you know he doesn't want to be here. You can't just let him walk. At least I don't think so. 617-779-0985. You want to touch on the Mookie Betts story, anything we've touched on when it comes to the Patriots, the Antonio Brown story. We'll get to all your calls coming up in our next segment here right after the Sports Hub headlines with Sean Silver. It's Jim Murray and Ted Johnson, Gaspar Murray here on the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gaspar and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, is this heaven? No. It's Iowa.
Yeah, it's Iowa. At the promo for Major League Baseball earlier this week to announce that the Yankees and White Sox are going to play at the Field of Dreams location next summer. And it was obviously an altered movie clip there with Aaron Judge, the Yankees, there talking to Ray Kinsella, who was played by Kevin Costner. It was really cool. And I just wanted to touch on this for a minute because I actually there's not much I feel like that baseball gets right. These days, the game's interminably long. When they do these kind of corny offshoot things like the Red Sox and Yankees playing in London, awful. Games like 6 hours long, both of them, with football scores, just terrible. This, though, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. And I know I get accused of being a grump, and you'd be right, especially if you follow me on Twitter. There's a lot I don't like in this life. This thing, next summer, August 13th, 2020, yeah. White Sox, Yankees, Field of Dreams, yep. 8,000 seats. I mean, come on. You win tickets to this thing. You're able to buy tickets. You can bring your dad. How many sons and dads are going to go and just like cry like weeping women at this thing next summer? It'd be awesome to do. Ted, agree?
Totally agree. I'm all in on this. I'm a sucker for that movie. A lot of people think it's a corny movie. Look, you want to have a catch, Dad? You know, like gets me every single time. I'm not going to lie. And so I absolutely love this. Is so out of the box kind of thinking and just cool and different. And in a sport that needs to be so cool and different,
yeah.
In baseball, I love the idea. I think it's really, really a cool idea. So I'm all in with this. I'm all in on this this little endeavor here.
Sean,
I've actually been to the site. I went in 2009 on a road trip,
like complete middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, it smells like cow poop everywhere. You know, if you're driving up with your windows down.
What's the biggest city in Iowa? Is closest to? Is it Des Moines or
I think Dubuque is the closest. Maybe Iowa City. Yeah, because we were coming from the Chicago area, so we passed through Dubuque, and you know, eventually you're just out there, and there's nothing, and there's this field. You pull up, you know, big driveway, and there's like a little gift shop, and people were just kind of like having a game on the field. Like you could walk in, you know, take a position, wait, you know, a few turns, and like someone would be like, hey, you want to hit, you know, you want to pitch to your friend, and you step in, and like, you know, guys, you know, throwing BP to his daughter, and you're just kind of hanging out, having a good time.
And they just walk into the cornfield and disappear.
Yeah, you can just walk out to the outfield. You know, we played a little wiffle ball out there. It was great. But one thing about that, and I don't want to, you know, belabor this point, but this was the Field of Dreams site was purchased, I think, back in 2011 by a big Chicago area developer. She's since passed away, which is unfortunate, but her original plan was to turn it into like one of these giant youth baseball facilities where there are like 24 fields and they'd have massive, you know, Little League World Series type tournaments there and all that stuff. And people really like shouted it down. So it's maintained that kind of essence of being small little tourist attraction, random, whatever. It'll be interesting to see what MLB can do with an 8,000 seat stadium in there that they're going to build, you know, temporarily for this whole thing. But, it, you know, it's kind of cool that it still kind of exists in its essence as you think of it in the movie, and they're going to do this out there. I did want to pitch a question to Jim, too.
Yeah.
Has Iowa been a destination on any of your summer trips that you've done, and would you consider adding it in to maybe do something like this?
You know, I haven't really thought of it. So what's close? So what he's alluding to, Sean's alluding to, in case you don't know, and Ted, so this was the 12th year I did it, me and five of my other buddies. We call it Trip of the Ages. We make shirts like a bunch of cornballs. We go to three random cities. You fly to one, you drive to the next two, and we try to tier the cities. One good city, one S city, and one complete crap city, and we make the best of it. This year, because we're running out of cities, again, we've done this 12 straight years, what do we do? Birmingham, such vacation hotspots as Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, you went to Dreamland Barbecue, didn't you?
We did. It was so good.
Oh, good as Dreamland and the Big really, Ham.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So you know about that. Oh, that place is unreal. Birmingham, Alabama.
Good golf there, too.
We went to, where did the Carolina Panthers play? Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah.
And what the hell was the third one? Either way, I can't remember it. I just did it like 3 weeks ago.
Were you
ago.
Just there?
Yeah, I know. My brain has turned to mush. I wouldn't mind seeing Iowa. That's a place I really don't think I've even ever been. Des Moines, any of the bigger cities. So, yeah, no, that's one I need to cross off.
Does it say when the game will be played?
August 20th of 2020 or August 13th, 2020.
Okay. Perfect. I would recommend going, and here's the reason why. Not only do you get to, would that be a cool just venue and I think experience to see them play there, it's also going to be overlapping with what I think is the country's greatest state fair, and that's the Iowa State Fair.
Oh, yeah?
In Des Moines, Iowa. Oh, you want to have a good time. The Iowa State Fair in Des Moines, Iowa, in the first 2 weeks of every August is awesome. So there's, I mean, if you're into State Fairs.
I kind of am.
Dude, the food, the attractions, all the stuff that they bring in there to show, and
the giant,
some of the coolest rides.
Like they have like the giant turkey brontosaurus leg, kind of thing.
They pride themselves in like the most foods fried on a stick, you know? So it's
nice.
It's just, but and there's, you know, the largest chocolate cow I've ever seen. I mean, literally like as tall as this. I mean, it's just wacky, weird stuff, but it's good, wholesome fun. State Fair, Des Moines, Iowa, first 2 weeks in August. Recommend it.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I now remember the third city. It was Knoxville, Tennessee. So, yeah, we did Birmingham, Alabama, Knoxville, Tennessee, and Charlotte. And, you know, it was great. It was great. Sometimes the best thing about this
Knoxville.
The best thing about this trip, Sean and Ted, is that you find out about these places you think would be absolute hellholes, and you walk away saying, like, hey, that place was pretty good. So since I went to Omaha, Nebraska, I've said that Omaha's theme on their like, when you enter Omaha, it should say Omaha. Who knew? Because Omaha's great. Like, Omaha's great.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, Omaha, who the hell knew? A little jammed up here on the phone lines. Let's go to, here we go. Tom in the car wanted to talk about this Antonio Brown story. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good man.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just get off speakerphone. Yeah, real quickly, Ted, you're absolutely right. There is something definitely going on. This has kind of been brewing. He's been acting strange for a while, but where he seemed to really go off the rails, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but when he got that concussion against Cincinnati about three, four years ago, Perfect.
Yeah, Vontaze Perfect lit him up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the writers have kind of said, boy, he's really acted bizarre. And, you know, he settled out of court for throwing furniture off his balcony, high rise, nearly hit a 2-year-old girl down in her carriage. He got busted for 100 miles an hour in a residential kind of business zone, but it wasn't a highway, going over 100 in his Porsche. And the thing that set him off during that week was Juju got voted MVP by the players. And Juju has been a phenomenal, not only as a player, but also his media platform, where he's actually becoming more popular than Antonio. And it was driving Antonio crazy. But when he got voted the MVP that week, that's when he kind of just went ballistic. But there's definitely something wrong. When you're really asking yourself, how bizarre is this behavior, you got to trace it to something going on from a mental illness standpoint. There isn't any doubt about it.
Thanks, Tom. Something's flipped with this dude. Whether it's, you know, too much social media and his mind has turned to mush from that. Maybe it's some after effects of getting lit up by Vontaze Burfict a few years back. But he's completely changed. Maybe it's just too much stardom. Fame can turn you into a lunatic.
Yeah, it can. Those are all probably... plausible, factors that maybe are going into this. But it literally looks like somebody that, quote-unquote, is, like, losing his mind.
Yeah.
And, right? And just the irrational behavior. He's like, have you ever met somebody, where it's, like, right here, like, they're ready to pounce. They're just so wound up. And just, like, they're on edge, it feels like. You say the wrong thing at the wrong time, it's going to set that person on. I feel like that's Antonio Brown. He's just on edge all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on. And, you know, look, maybe it's hard not to kind of speculate, to think that maybe there's a mental health piece to this that is going undiagnosed that maybe he needs to address, because there's just plenty of things that have happened in the last year that suggest, like, it just something's mentally not right with this guy.
Let's go to Willie in Charlestown on Antonio Brown. You're next here on Gaspar Murray with Ted Johnson. Hey, Willie.
Hey, how you doing? I believe you're spending way too much time on this Antonio Brown story. I mean, who cares, you know?
All right, that's enough of you. Our show will dictate how we want to deliver the content. If you don't like it, start a podcast. I can recommend to you, sorry, Ted, go to Guitar Center, pick up an RE20. They're the best microphones you can buy to start a podcast. They're like $400. You really want to invest in it, buy one of those. Get yourself a mixer and then post it on YouTube so no one can listen to it. Go ahead, Ted.
You know, here's the thing, though. He's the greatest, you know, considered the greatest, best wide receiver in the NFL. And he's going to a franchise that is, I think, interesting, because John Gruden is now the head coach. He signed a 10-year, $100 million contract there. They're moving to Las Vegas. They have a young, quarterback who's shown that he can maybe be a great quarterback in this league, who took definitely a step back last year, Derek Carr. I mean, it's a fascinating franchise.
It's
Mark Davis is running it. I mean, who they? Oh, they brought in as the general manager. Who was the guy?
Oh, Mike Mayock.
Mike Mayock.
Yeah.
It's just to me, there's a juicy storyline. So they, not only did they trade for Antonio Brown, but John Gruden also brought in Richie Incognito and Vontaze Burfict as well for that team. So those are guys that have blown up franchises before that have had issues wherever they've gone.
Not to mention they're the team being featured on Hard Knocks, and so this is what the other thing I want to see going forward. I haven't even watched that first episode. I know you haven't either, Ted, but you know I've always loved usually I've loved that show. Sometimes it's a dud, but this time around, I don't know, are you going to cover this? Because it's a massive story. It's maybe the biggest story in the league because of how talented Antonio Brown is. So are they going to cover this, or are they going to try to bury it, which I think will speak volumes, you know? So that's something else to keep looking at.
I'm going to go home and watch this this first episode because I'm so damn curious. Usually, Jim, they won't omit stuff like this. I mean, I think the team to some degree has a say in some of the stuff that's shown. But I think, I mean, it's just such a massive story. I think HBO would look fraudulent if they
Yeah. All right, one segment to go. It's usually five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports, but Ted is here instead of Chris. So Ted has to sit here in the electric chair and have to answer those questions. We'll do that next as we wrap up here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
All right, Ted. No Chris Gasper, so it's your turn to answer the five questions that got nothing to do with sports here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. We don't have a lot of time, so question number one.
Yes.
Ted Johnson, despite having been retired from the NFL for well over a decade now, you still work out all the time, you're crossfitting, you're in great shape. So, what is on your perfect cheat day menu?
Ooh, good call. For me, it's the easiest one is pizza. So, pizza is my go-to on cheat day. And I love all the meat toppings. So Meat Lover's Pizza is what I go to for my cheat day. Also, I'm going to add another one, chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Oh,
I'm a
huge thing.
I used to have a black card from Chick-fil-A.
What does that let you do?
A black card. So in the so the media, they would invite ask different media people down in Houston. You had to go to this event at this nice hotel, and they swore you in, and you got. And if you went to this event, they gave you a black card that gives you one free meal at any Chick-fil-A in Houston once a day for 1 year.
Oh my God!
How awesome is that?
It's the best hookup ever.
I did it for 2 years. I went to this event. You got to go. You do this little. It's all honor system. So they don't track how many. If you wanted to go to 10 of them that day, you could. But you have to swear that you won't do that, and they give you a black card, and it's for a year. So Chick-fil-A, to answer your question, and a Meat Lover's Pizza.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Their politics are god-awful, but, man, that is a breathtaking chicken sandwich. And once you have it, you're not going back. I'm a sellout.
I love all their sauces, too.
Make no apologies. Question number two. Ted, at 46, what's been the worst thing so far of getting old?
The worst thing probably... Oh, that's a really good question. I think I have less of now than ever is patience. I think the older I get, the less patience I have, and that's not good. It's supposed to be the other way around. That's probably. And you know what? Sometimes I think one of the hardest things too is just getting yourself going every single day.
Oh yeah,
you know, just gotta. I used to pop up right out of bed. Now it takes me. It takes me almost like I need 2 hours to get myself showered, cleaned up, coffee. You know what I mean? Like I used to just pop up and go. Now it takes me forever.
The aches and pains are real once you hit age 40.
Yep.
Favorite movie of all time?
Oh, well, you know what? Great question. I would say probably Braveheart, Top Gun, or Shawshank. They're all right there.
Shawshank would be mine. I think that's most guys.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason they have the term, you know, getting Shawshank. It's been on cable for years and years now. It's on, and it ends up ruining your night. Often around here, Ted, you're the one that makes people starstruck. 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. I ask you, though, who have you been starstruck by?
Oh, good question. I've met, I was starstruck by Matthew McConaughey. I met him.
All right.
Yeah, I met him at the bar in, at the Ritz here in Boston.
Oh, no kidding.
Many years ago. Really nice guy. I would say, yeah, Matthew McConaughey. I've been starstruck by, who else have I met? Yeah, I would say probably Matthew
McConaughey. That's a big star. Yeah, I can see being starstruck by him. Finally, if you had to, what would you rather do to make money, Ted Johnson, be a wedding DJ full-time or a full-time line cook? The line cook's not the sexiest job. You're just like grilling. You're throwing fries in the fry later. Yeah. You're not the chef. You're just, you know, you're the grunt.
Boy, you know what? Man, I'd probably do the line cook. Believe it or not, I grew up in a family restaurant for 34 years. I like manual labor, believe it or not. Like, I love physical manual labor. And so there's a rhythm to doing that. And I like the fast-paced nature of restaurants and cooking. So the line cook, believe it or not.
I've done both, Ted, and considering radio and its volatility, Lord knows I'll have to make this decision once again. I will choose line cook. Line cook, there's a mindlessness to it that's great. I like the grunt work. Wedding DJ? You deal with a drunk bride's mom that's pissed that you're playing music she hates, you'd rather die. Trust me.
That's fine.
That concludes five questions for Ted Johnson.
I had fun, buddy.
It was a good time.
Good time, Jim.
Hope to see you again next week at some point. I don't know if we're together. I don't know how the schedule works, but I'll be happy.
I'll see you around campus. Well,
yeah, absolutely. All right. For Ted Johnson, that's going to do it for me, Jim Murray, and for Brian Robb producing today's show, Sean Silver, who is chiming in and on the headlines. That's going to do it for us. Coming up next, Joe Murray. You want to get on with him? 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.